If you have your Bibles, we can take them, turn to Luke chapter 22. If your Bible is electronic, you can punch buttons and get there. I don't know how many buttons you have to push. I have to open an app, and then I got to say read, then I got to hit the book, and then I got to hit the chapter, then I got to hit the verse. So you should be there by now. Anyway, Luke chapter 22. The title this morning is The Heart of Betrayal. This morning we're going to be looking at the beginning of the betrayal of Jesus. Just 4 days earlier, he has entered into Jerusalem with cheering crowds. But in just a couple more days, the voices are going to turn to anger. This morning we're going to be spotlighting Judas Iscariot, because it was his betrayal that started the path to the cross for Jesus. Let's go to our text. We'll be looking at just 6 verses today, but let me begin with verse 1 and 2. Now the festival of unleavened bread, called the Passover, was approaching. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Heavenly Father, we are so appreciative for your word and the preservation of it. But Lord, would you let it penetrate our hearts today? Let us learn from this story and, Lord, apply it to our lives what you desire to do in us. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says the Passover was approaching, which was the celebration that Israel has celebrated since their deliverance from Egypt. They were 400 years in slavery, and God set them free. But the very last plague that God brought upon that land of Egypt was one that the firstborn of every home would die when the death angel would come. For 1,400 years, Israel had remembered this Passover year after year after year. They remembered that the blood of the lamb was put on the doorpost of each home, so that when the death angel came and he saw the blood on the doorpost, the death angel would pass over that home and would not take the life of the firstborn. And they were celebrating that deliverance. I don't want you to miss the irony, though, of this story today as we read it. Because on this particular holiday, this Feast of Unleavened Bread, this particular Passover, the religious leaders of Israel are looking for a way to actually kill the Messiah, the Lamb of God, who came to shed his blood so his blood could be applied to our hearts so that eternal death, when it comes, it would pass over us and we would have everlasting life. These religious leaders were seeking, believe it or not, to erase the very central figure, the culmination of all that had been prophesied at this celebration and what it was all gathering about. They wanted to take out the Lamb of God. The passage we read tells us that they were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus. The issue was no longer up for debate. They finally decided, we know what we need to do. There just needs to be a way to make it happen. But they had a dilemma. Jesus had become popular, and these religious leaders were afraid of the people. And if they tried to arrest Jesus in front of the crowds, they thought they might incite a riot. So they were looking for some opportunity and when there would be no people around. And then Judas shows up, and now all their plans could go into motion. Verse 3, we read, then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. And Judas went to the chief priest and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. He consented, and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present. This morning, I want to notice a few facts about this betrayal of Jesus. It starts with the first fact was Judas was the one who initiated the contact. Here's a man who had walked with Jesus for 3 years. He had witnessed his power over nature, calming of a sea. He saw his ability to heal the sick. Astonished authority that he could bring dead people back to life. Judas had seen and probably even experienced himself the personal compassion and the grace that Jesus Christ had for people. There were moments, had to be, that Judas was listening, think about it, to the creator of the universe who was unlocking truth and the mysteries of life. Judas surely was among the disciples who went out two by two and saw God work through them. So my question this morning is, how could such a person turn against Jesus? It's actually a hard question to answer. But even today, there are those who at one point were following Jesus who are now saying they no longer believe or have faith in Jesus. Even though they experienced his love, his grace, and God's work in their life. Here's the problem with betrayal. What makes betrayal a betrayal is the depth of relationship that is violated. You see, you expect your enemies to turn against you, right? And maybe even those who don't know you, maybe they'll take advantage of you or use you as a stepping stone. But you don't expect betrayal from people you call a friend or people you consider part of your family. That is why marital unfaithfulness hurts so much. That's why harsh words from a child sting so deeply. That's why it hurts when a friend spreads lies and gossip and violates your trust. It's all because you had this special relationship that has now been betrayed. It's exactly what Judas did. Hard to comprehend, but we would have thought he would have been so close to Jesus, he would never do that. But a second fact we find out in this story is this. Judas betrayed Jesus because Satan entered him. This statement, of course, raises a question. How does somebody who walks so close to Jesus get mixed up with Satan? You need to know this, church. Satan is a master strategist. And he knows those who are superficial believers. And by the way, he is very content to let them live a lie as they attend church. Why? Because eventually they will reveal that they are not genuinely walking with the Lord. And guess what that does? That brings confusion in the church and causes some people to fall away from following Christ. In my lifetime, there have been several people who I would have considered great people of God, great ministers of the gospel, but they fell away from the faith. It breaks my heart. But I am not following men. I am following Jesus. Paul puts it probably the best when he says, follow me as I follow Christ. Could I tell you this morning, keep following Jesus? Church, if Satan can just cause a few people to stumble in their walk, his hopes is that he'll make a bigger impact and cause others to fall away. So keep following Jesus. We may never fully understand why Judas did what he did, but our concern has to be this. If it happened to Judas, then it could happen to us as well. Now, I do not believe that Satan or his demons can possess a believer. That's not what we believe. We believe that Christ takes residence in your life. The Holy Spirit is there, so the evil spirit cannot come in. But if you're not following Christ, you have left your soul empty. I want you, though, as a believer, to be very careful. Don't let the enemy perch on your shoulder, though, and speak in your ear. Because that's what he does. He may not be able to enter, but that doesn't mean he won't speak. If we begin to listen to Satan's whispers rather than the voice of the Lord, you will fall prey to Satan's deceptions. Let me give you an example of how Satan works. God tells us we are loved and valuable in his sight. That's what God says in his word. But Satan will lie to you and tell you God loves other people more than he loves you. Or God couldn't love you because you have done so many things wrong. When you begin to believe that lie, you give opportunity for Satan to enter your thoughts and your thinking, your mind. And instead of believing the truth that comes from God's word, you begin to believe that lie. Let me tell you the truth. God so loved the world. God so loved you so much that he demonstrated his love for you while you were still a sinner. God loves you. Don't miss that. Satan will always do his best to get us to trust our own feelings, our own justifications, more than trusting what God has said. And he's going to do everything he can, Satan will, to pervert what is good and righteous. But you need to know this clearly. Satan cannot be successful without your help. Can I say that again? Satan cannot be successful without your help. You need to know, Satan doesn't have power over a true believer, and we do not need to fear him. Amen? God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us his Holy Spirit so we can discern what is right and what is wrong. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind," or sound discipline. Here's what fear says. Fear says, "I'm not good enough." Fear says, "I'm not strong enough." Fear says, "I'm not worthy enough." But God's Spirit comes along and reveals the truth that we are God's workmanship. We've been created for good works. God is doing something in and through you, and you've got to quit believing the lie and the fear. Be careful not to fall prey to Satan's lies and his deceptions. A third fact that happened in this story is money became part of the deal. We're told the religious leaders offered Judas money, and Judas didn't turn it down. But I can tell you later, we find out that the money he received did not satisfy his heart. Betrayal can never be satisfied by any amount of money. Listen to what happens later to Judas. Matthew records it for us in chapter 27. When Judas, who had betrayed him, that is Jesus, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and the elders. "I have sinned," he said, "for I have betrayed innocent blood." "What is that to us?" they replied. "That's your responsibility." So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. Could I tell you today, it's so important for us to understand our responsibility. Today, there are young people who are struggling with life because they have been confused by this world. There are people who are taking their lives today because they are under such oppression and such enemy influence in this world. That is why it's so important for you, the church, to be the light. They are looking for light. They're looking for life. And you have the words of life. So church, it's so important to understand our responsibility. But also understand money is never the answer to any heart situation. In fact, God's word warns many times about wealth and money. Ecclesiastes puts it about as clear as it can be in verse 10 of chapter 5. Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. And Solomon says this too is meaningless. He is walking through the things of life and he comes across money and says it's meaningless. We need to be careful to not let money lead your life. It will never satisfy you. Of course, Judas, we find out, was remorseful. He was sorrowful for betraying Jesus. And by the way, that's often the case for people who betray others. But sadly, it always happens after the damage has been done. Next week, we will continue in Luke and we'll read about the Passover Supper. But John, the disciple, covers a part of the Passover meal that Luke does not cover, but I think it's pertinent for us to read it today. At the beginning of the Passover meal, Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. He does this as an illustration of a servant's heart that he really desired for his followers to have. That evening, Jesus washed the feet of each disciple. He even washed the feet of the man he knew was going to betray him. Max Lucado, in a book he writes, Just Like Jesus, I want to read an excerpt to you. He writes, "You can be sure Jesus knows the future of these feet he is washing. These 24 feet will not spend the next day following their master, defending his cause. These feet will dash for cover at the flesh of a Roman sword. Only one pair of feet won't abandon him in the garden. One disciple won't desert him at Gethsemane. Judas won't even make it that far. He will abandon Jesus that very night at the table." Max writes, "I looked for a Bible translation that reads, Jesus washed all the disciples' feet except the feet of Judas, but I couldn't find one. What a passionate moment when Jesus silently lifts the feet of his betrayer and washes them in the basin. Within hours, the feet of Judas, cleansed by the kindness of the one he will betray, will stand in Caiaphas's court. Behold the gift Jesus gives his followers. He knows what these men are about to do. He knows they are about to perform the vilest act of their lives. By morning, they will bury their heads in shame and look down at their feet in disgust. And when they do, he wants them to remember how his knees knelt before them and he washed their feet. He wants them to realize that those feet are still clean. John 13:7 says, you don't understand now what I am doing, but you will understand later. Remarkable. He forgave their sin before they even committed it. He offered mercy before they even sought it. It's an incredible contrast. We have a betrayer and we have the Savior. One has a hard heart, the other has a tender heart. One is selfish, the other is selfless. One needed his feet washed, and there was one who wanted to wash his feet. And there's one who wants to wash your feet today. There's one who wants to cleanse your heart and forgive your sins. We'll close with two thoughts. My first thought is this: keep following Jesus. Everybody say that with me. Keep following Jesus. It's a sad statement, but everyone following Jesus today may not always follow Jesus. I've watched for over 14 years in this church right here, people step away from God. Breaks my heart. I know they know the truth. but it's their choice. It's their responsibility. Paul tells the church at Galatia these words, "Let's not become weary in doing good." Church, I know following Christ has its challenges, but he says, "For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Keep following Jesus. Only God knows the human heart. He knows when faith is genuine and when it's not. All I know is that there could be people who cheer with the crowds on Sunday, but they betray the Lord in their living throughout the week. I know that. But the reason I say keep following Jesus is to remind you that we need to continually examine our own hearts every day. Be careful to get up every morning. His mercies are new every morning. Every morning, choose to live for Jesus. That's why I tell you, have a Jesus-filled week. I don't want you to have a half-filled week. I don't want you to just have a morning-filled week. I don't want you to just have a closing of your day-filled week. I want you to have a filled week of Jesus. I want you to have this Jesus-filled life that he offers to us. We need to consciously choose to follow Jesus every day, and we can only do it day by day and moment by moment. Keep following Jesus. Worship team, would you come? My last thought for this day is this. Maybe you have been betrayed. Probably everybody in this room knows a touch of betrayal. Maybe it was a friend, even harder, a spouse. Maybe it was a business partner. There is pain in betrayal. It cuts deep. It hurts. That's because the act of betrayal causes harm to your heart and to your thinking. Because now I can't trust them. Now I can't. And you get all in this turmoil. But I want you to know that God can heal your heart and your mind. In fact, he says, I want to transform your mind. I want to help you with that. And if you've been betrayed, I want you to know Jesus knows exactly how you feel. Because he was betrayed. And it's easy for us to talk about Judas, but it wasn't just Judas who deserted Jesus on the night he was betrayed. Every disciple ran away. And Peter denies that he even knew him. The crowds that cheered just a few days earlier, when it came to the cross, Jesus traveled alone. He understands betrayal. And church, if we were honest with ourselves today, we know that all of us have betrayed Jesus at some point or another ourselves. We've all had that heart of betrayal. You go, well, no, not me. Yes, you. You might have slandered him. You may have denied him. You may have just left him out. Maybe you ignored his commands of his word. The Holy Spirit was talking to you and you just shut it down. But I want you to know God can heal your heart today. Today, God offers to each and every one of us here the grace and the forgiveness that we need. I want you to hear what Jesus has to say about it. He knows betrayal is going to happen. And he tells us in Matthew 11:28 these words, "Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary." I know it gets tired sometimes following Jesus. I mean, church again? I mean, is it Sunday already? Is it time for discipleship? Church, please don't get weary. Not today. There's just so much to do. There's too many lost people. There's so many that need life, and you carry it within you. Do not get weary. And he says, come to you, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. There's so many people that just, they carry the weight of their sin. I know as believers that one of the things that they struggle with is, am I really forgiven? And they keep battling the past. I can only tell you what God's word says. Your sin has been cast as far as the east is from the west. Church, if you don't believe the word of God, you're missing the love of God. He loves you. And he calls for you and says, come to me, all you who are weary and carry the heavy burdens. And he says, I will give you rest. I know there are those also who struggle with habitual sin. It just keeps coming back. And I know the prayer. I know it well. Oh, Lord, here I am again because I did this and I don't want to do that. And God, help me. But I want you to know that's why it's so important to know he knows what betrayal is. So he's not beating you down. He is loving you and saying, come to me. Come find your rest. Let me heal your heart. Let me transform your mind. Because church, it comes down to us keep following Jesus. Come to him. Would you bow your heads for a moment? Maybe in this place you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior. You heard it early on in the service. Listen, he still redeems people. It doesn't matter what your past may say. It doesn't matter what the enemy has told you. The Word of God says he loves you, he died for you, and if you put your faith in him, he redeems you, he moves his spirit into your life, and he begins to guard and protect and lead you. If that's you this morning, you say, I need to put Jesus in my life. I need to accept him. I want to follow him. If that's you this morning, balcony, main floor, would just slip your hand up and you can put it back down. But I just want to pray with you today. Is there anyone? I'm just glancing around. I don't want to rush it, but I don't want to belinger it either. Amen. I may have not. Yes, sir. Thank you. I don't want to miss a hand. Thank you. For this water's raised, would you just, everybody just pray with me a simple prayer that just invites Jesus to be Lord of your life. Would you say, Heavenly Father, by faith, I believe you died for me. I ask you today, forgive me of my sin. Cleanse my heart. Transform my mind. I want to follow you. Every day. Use me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. But as I close this morning, this is the call. Maybe you've carried a heavy burden. Lay it down. He bore it all at the cross for you and for me. We don't have to carry your sin anymore. He's cast it into the depths of the sea. He says, to be remembered against you no more. Let it go. Quit carrying the burden. The betrayals, I know they hurt. I know. But let God begin to transform your mind. This morning, as pastors, we'll just be across here. I'm willing to pray with you about it. But I'm telling you, just take it to Jesus. He says, come to me. Come to me. I will give you rest. I can't give that to you, but Jesus can. Jesus offers it any and every time you come to him. I know we've all been hurt. But somewhere, I've got to have the transforming life of Christ. Because Jesus could have said, God, you see how they treat me? You see, they hung me on a cross. give up. It's their responsibility. But no, Jesus hangs on the cross and says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And that's what he says, let everybody come to me. Let them come, because he'll change your life. Amen? Amen. So Father, this morning as we close, we celebrate what you did in the seven candidates. But Lord, I pray over them that you would protect them, Lord. You would guard them. And Lord, that they would follow you all the days of their life. Lord, I know there will probably be some betrayals along the way. And I know they'll get hurt, but guard them. Guard them, God. And Lord, for your church here, Lord, help us to follow you this week. Lord, to be sensitive to listen to your voice and your love and your call. And Lord, help us not betray you, but to live for you. In Jesus' name I pray.